Good evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get started. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that we do have here together tonight. I pray that you'd bless the time that we look into your word, Lord, that you'd use it to be a help to each of us tonight. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin by telling you that there are several disconnected thoughts that will hopefully all be connected here in a few moments. And I would just ask that you stay with me, that you follow along, and then see if this can be a help to you. I do understand, and I know this, that all of us are in different stages of life, and so what may be an encouragement to some may not be as much of an encouragement to someone else. But I think if we're honest, all of us can be helped by this message to an extent. I want to begin tonight by saying this before we turn to the passage. I want to begin by saying that I do enjoy living in Pampa. I do enjoy living in Pampa. It's just become home over the years. It's where we've raised our family. I like it, all right? That being said, you can understand this, that as much as I do enjoy Pampa, sometimes I want to get out of here. You ever been in a situation like that? You know, it's like I just want to get away for a few days. Maybe I want to get away just for an evening. The other night, Susie and I went to Amarillo, somewhat spontaneous. We had not been there in a couple of months except for hospital visits, and so we went over to Amarillo. I thought, man, that was fun. It's been a long time since we'd been out of Pampa. So we did that, and that was fun. So you understand what I'm saying. You can enjoy a place, but sometimes you want to get away for a little bit and just see some new scenery. Now, that in mind, changing gears just a little bit, I know this to be true of myself, and I conducted a survey with two other people, and they agree with me, all right? So therefore, this must be true 100% across the board, because I feel this way, and two other people feel this way. And I bet this is more true of most of us than maybe we would want to admit. But of myself and the two people that I interviewed, here's what we found to be true, that we do not always welcome and embrace change. Have you ever discovered that maybe about yourself, that you don't always welcome and embrace change? Guilty. Okay. All right, so there's four of us. It even just makes my case that much more. All right. Now think about this. I know people have talked about this before. I've talked about this, I'm sure, at some point in the past. But how many of us are guilty of when we go to the restaurant, it is usually the same restaurant that we always go to? Maybe we've got three or four different restaurants that we go to, but you know, it's going to be within this certain realm. This is where we're going to eat. It'll be one of these few places. And if you go to this particular place, this is what you'll order here. If you go to this place, you'll order this here. If you go here, you'll order this. Have you ever noticed that about yourself, that there's not just a great variation amongst your eating habits when dining out? Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we went to the Plaza. I thought I'd try something different. I don't know why I thought that. I regretted it. Thought, why didn't you just stick with what you know you like? All right, anyways. Most of us don't like to change our wardrobe just a whole lot. Most of us, if you could look at us for the last 20 years, yes, we've bought some shirts over the years, but they look a whole lot like what they did 20 years ago. Some of us are still wearing the same shirts from 20 years ago, but it's partly because we don't embrace and we don't welcome change in our lives. Most of us don't like moving because it's just a hassle and we're comfortable here. You get the point, right? Okay, so that being said, think about this, and I know that this would not be true entirely across the board, but isn't it true that sometimes when you want to get out of town, you want to go to the same old place that's comfortable to you? I was thinking about our men's fishing trip. Do you know how bad we are about this? We want the same campsite every year. We don't want to change this up any. That one year that we had to change it up just a little bit, none of us were comfortable there. I mean, the fishing was completely different because we were like a mile from our original campsite, and we just, it wasn't normal. And some of us, I'll speak for myself, some of us just didn't care for it. It wasn't the same as years past. Yeah, when we go out on our fishing trip, you know where we're going to set the jugs, don't you? Same place we do every year, because we're not going to change anything up. You understand this, right? If you go out of town so many times, you want to go where you've been because it's comfortable, you know the layout and all these different things. Now, again, I'm going somewhere with this. Over the years, Susie and I have developed, and I think some of you know this, but Susie and I have developed a fondness for Florida. All right, so in the last several years, we've been, I think, six times, and five of those times we've gone to the Orlando area and just kind of branched out from there. But that's what we've done the last few years, and I've gotten comfortable with Orlando, and I know where things are at, and I like the area. So this year, for our anniversary, we changed things up, and we went to Pensacola. I was a little suspicious. I know it's Florida, but... Well, they said, who's they? They said, oh, it's beautiful in Pensacola. You're going to love Pensacola. There in that area and down along the coastline in the Destin area, oh, you're going to love it. It's just going to be great. And you're just going to enjoy yourself. And you know what I thought? We'll see. We'll see. You know why? Because I do not welcome and embrace change. I don't know where Pensacola is at before I made the trip. I don't know what the city is like. I don't know what there is to do. I don't know what the beach is like. I don't know what the water is like. And so there was this part of me, I didn't express it to Susie or to anyone else, but there was this part of me that, just to be honest, I was very uneasy about going to Pensacola rather than Orlando, because we had never, ever been there before. And what if I don't like it? And you know what I found out? It's better than Orlando. It's kind of a bummer. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to know and to be aware of this fact that that was pretty nice. But I didn't really fully understand it until I had experienced it. Now, this evening, we're going to hold on to all that, I hope, for a couple of moments. And I want us to begin looking tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to be this evening. We're just going to look at a few verses. But as you're finding your place there, I want to remind us of a couple of things that are true of tonight's message by way of context. I want us to be reminded of this fact, that the Apostle Paul lived every day with the awareness that his death was imminent. The Apostle Paul knew that there were people who hated him. The Apostle Paul knew that there were people who would love to see his life taken. And so the Apostle Paul was someone who was very mindful of the fact that at any given time, someone could rise up against him and take his life. And I think, as I've said before, every one of us would have to admit, we do not understand living with that kind of pressure and that kind of stress. We may have people who aren't real fond of us. We may have people in our lives who don't sing our praises and who are not worried about our well-being. But most of us are not looking over our shoulders every day, wondering who is coming after us. And yet the Apostle Paul had many people in his life who would have desired and who would have enjoyed the idea of taking Paul's life. In addition to that, I want us to think about this, that last week in chapter 4, verse number 16, Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," though our outward man perish. I tried to touch on this last week a little bit, and I'm going to just touch on it again tonight. But I want us to be mindful of this, that the Apostle Paul, like everyone else, he was a man who was growing older, and he was a man who was feeling all the consequences of the years of the toll of the ministry and everything that he had experienced over the years. Would we agree with that? That his body, it had taken its toll, the ministry had, everything that he had experienced. So he was feeling the effects of aging and everything that he had experienced on his physical body. But I want us to be mindful of this, that while Paul talked about being confused, while Paul talked about the pressure of the ministry, while Paul talked about feeling abandoned and all these other things by different people in his lives, in his life, the Apostle Paul also made this clear that he was not a man who was ready to give up. He understood the pressure of the ministry, but it wasn't about to get to him. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to feel the confusion and to not have the answers, but Paul said, I'm not at a loss. And as the Apostle Paul was going through life and going through ministry and experiencing everything he had experienced, he also said in verse number 16 last week that though the outward man perished, he said, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So his spirit was strengthened. His spirit was revived. His spirit was constantly being regenerated and rejuvenated by the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life. And that is why he was able to say that the affliction that he went through was nothing more than a light affliction and an opportunity in which he could praise the Lord through those circumstances. So I want us to see this of the Apostle Paul, that though his circumstances were not easy, he was not a depressed man who hated life. You understand this? He was not a man who, if you were around him, you would have said to yourself or maybe to others, man, what a downer. Man, it's just not fun to be around the Apostle Paul because he's always down, he's always negative, he's always discouraged, he's always depressed. No, that's not who Paul would have been, because he understood this affliction is a light affliction, it's temporary, it's something by which I can praise God, and my inward man is being renewed day by day. And so here is Paul. Is he feeling the weight of the ministry? Is he feeling some of the consequences of the ministry? Yes. But he's not discouraged and depressed and ready to throw in the towel. But you know what he does seem to be ready for? He seems to be ready to get away. But not to the beach, not to the lake, not to his favorite hunting area. He has a desire to go home. How do we know? Well, notice in verse number 1 of chapter 5, Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I know that most of us are aware of this. I just want us to follow along, though, and give attention to what Paul said there in verse number 1. He speaks of himself. He speaks of those who would be traveling with him. He speaks of anyone that would read this letter who would be in the realm of Christianity under that umbrella. And he speaks of his life and he speaks of his existence as being in a tabernacle or a tent-like structure. Now, here's what every one of us know, that a tent has never been intended to be a permanent dwelling place. A tent has only ever been intended to be a temporary dwelling place. And so as Paul is writing this, what he seems to be communicating is this, is that he knows that the body that he is living in, it is a temporary dwelling place. But he says, if it is dissolved, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this dwelling place is dissolved, he said, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What does that mean? It just means this, that should I die, keeping in mind that Paul was looking for the return of Christ, very important, Paul was looking for the return of Christ, keeping that in mind, he said, should we die and this old tabernacle, this old tent is dissolved, here is what I know and here is what I understand and here is what I'm aware of, that we have a building of God, a building, a permanent dwelling place, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, what is Paul talking about? He is talking about a glorified body that's going to live forever. I will shed this dwelling place, which is the tabernacle, and I will put on, he says, this building of God, this house, this dwelling place that is not made of hands, and it is eternal in nature in heaven. Notice what he said in verse number 2. He said, "For in this we groan." For in what? Well, in this earthly body we groan. When do you and I usually groan? Usually when we're under pressure or when we're hurting. Right? That's usually when we groan, when things are not comfortable for us. And so Paul said, in this body we groan, notice, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon which our house is from heaven. What does it mean to earnestly desire something? It means to want something intently. Paul said, this is something I want, this is something that I desire, this is something that I am longing for. In this body, I am groaning. There is pressure, there is pain, not to be confused with discouragement and ready to throw in the towel, but he realized the difficulties of life, and he said, we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. So he said, I'm looking forward to that glorified body. I kind of appreciate verse number 3 in an awkward kind of way. He said, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. What does that mean? It just means this, that if we are clothed in our spirit with a glorified body, then we'll not be naked or without a body by which to inhabit eternity. Does this make sense? Think about this. What Paul seems to be making clear for us, if we've ever had any questions about this, is we're not just going to be the spirit beings or ghost-like beings, but there's going to be some kind of a body that will identify us. We will not be naked. We will not be unknown or unseen. There is going to be some substance to us in heaven. Now, what is that body going to look like? I've said before, any honest person has had to say this, we don't know what the glorified body will look like, but it will be glorified and it will be eternal because it's not made with hands. So notice in verse number 5, he says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. So who has accomplished this in our lives? Who has made this possible for us? Well, that would be God. And he says, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So what is an earnest? Or what is earnest? Well, that's a reference to a down payment. Many of us, over the course of our lives, we have had to put down a down payment so as to promise to the one that there would be a future payment paying off what had been purchased. We ever done this? Okay, so what Paul is saying is this, is we can be for sure, or we can be guaranteed that this heavenly glorified body is going to be there because God gave His Holy Spirit to us as the down payment. So if I'm saved, if you're saved, which I trust our testimony would be that we are, then the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, Paul said that is the down payment on our glorified body. There is coming a day that we'll trade in this flesh for a glorified body, and we can be sure of it because of the Holy Spirit. So he says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Well, Paul, what are you trying to say? He's saying what is fairly obvious, that so long as we're here, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight, but in verse number 8 he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So Paul is saying in verse number 8 that he is willing and he would rather be with the Lord in this glorified body than in the present with his natural body. So in verse number 2 he said, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed. And in verse number 8 he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What is Paul looking forward to? Paul is looking forward to getting away. That's what he says. We're looking forward to this. This is what we would rather. This is where we're at in our lives with all of our situations, with all of our circumstances, with all of the conditions. We look forward to the day that this old tabernacle is dissolved and we get to put on the house of God, not made of hands, that is eternal in the heavens. That's what Paul is looking forward to. Now, Paul, this is what I would say. Paul, if your spirit is renewed day by day, if you're pressed but you're not pressed out, if you're confused but you're not at a loss, if you're not in distress, then why are you so ready to leave? I like what it says in verse number 4. He says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." What's it mean to groan? It means to sigh. When do we groan? When we're under pressure or when we're in pain, when we're hurting. So he says again, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." What does it mean to be burdened? It means to be carrying a weight. You know what Paul said? He said, we're groaning. It's not that we're distressed. It's not that we're discouraged. It's not that we're depressed, but it ain't easy. This is not easy, and it is a weight that we carry as we go through life. Now, what all were the burdens that Paul carried? What all were the weights that he and the others carried? Well, I don't know specifically, but probably a lot of the same weights and burdens that you and I carry today. So he says that we are in this tabernacle and we do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. All right, so he's still talking about this transition from this earthly life into eternity. But notice why he is desiring this and looking forward to this and wanting to get away to heaven. He said that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. I know that you know this, but think about this. We are mortal beings on this earth. We are not immortal. We are very much mortal beings. We are going to die. He says that part of the reason that he is looking forward to getting away and making this transition and making this move is so that mortality might be swallowed up or devoured by what? Life. Life. Now, I don't know if this means anything to us right now, but I want us to think about something, okay? Didn't Christ say something like this? "I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly"? Okay, so there's a difference on this earth, isn't there, between living and life? A lot of people on this earth obviously live, but a lot of people on this earth do not live an abundant life. All you've got to do is look around. All you've got to do is watch. And here's what you see is so many people, they are going through the motions of living, but they do not enjoy an abundant life. Okay, the Apostle Paul, here's what I would have to assume, is that he was not just one of the people who was alive, but he was the one or one of the ones who knew what it meant to live life abundantly. Listen, it doesn't mean that everything went his way. It doesn't mean that he was always the winner and every day was a Friday, but it does mean that he enjoyed the abundant life through Christ and Christ working in him and renewing him day by day. But here's what he says. regardless of the life that he had lived, regardless of the impact that his life had had on others, regardless of what he had been able to accomplish with the help of God in his life, he said that they groaned and they were burdened and they looked forward to that transition so that this mortality might be swallowed up or devoured of or by life. You know what Paul somehow understood? Paul somehow understood that no matter how good it's been down here, it's only going to be better up there. Whatever the blessing has been in this life, whatever the goodness of God has been in this life, whatever he had known and experienced by way of results in the ministry, whatever it was, here is what Paul said: I am earnestly longing and I am desiring to just get away, to transition from this mortal into the immortal, so that this old mortal flesh can be devoured up by real life. Can you imagine what the transition would have had to have been like for the Apostle Paul? Obviously, we weren't there. But after everything that he had experienced, every mile that he had traveled, every sermon he had preached, every beating he had taken, every rock that had ever been hurled at him, every insult that had been leveled against him, everything, whenever he woke up in eternity, every burden was gone. Paul has never preached another sermon in his eternal existence. He's never worried about another church or another church member. He's never had to look over his shoulder once more. He's never had to face death again. He's never had the stress or the pressure or the confusion or anything. Whenever the Apostle Paul stepped into eternity, you know what he stepped into? He stepped into the reality that he believed by faith, not by sight, but the mortal was devoured or swallowed up by the true, genuine life provided in heaven that can never be known this side of heaven. Now, if I could try to start tying all this together, here's what I would like to say. And some of you may say, well, Brother Kyle, you're goofy. And I'm okay with that, but you're goofy too. Okay? Nanny, nanny, all right? Just, I may be, but so are you. Now, why would I say that? It's kind of like living in Pampa. I would have to say this: living on this earth, I kind of like it. Here's what I know: that I've been blessed far more than I deserve. You've been blessed far more than you deserve. Okay, I like being alive. Life's been good. I'm not bitter toward life. I'm not angry toward life. I've enjoyed what God has blessed me with. So I'll just go ahead and say it like this. I want to live a long, long time and stay married to Susie for as long as we both shall live. That's what I want. Okay? I want to see my kids grow up, get married if God allows it, and to see some grandkids. That's what I want to see. Now, all that in mind, you know what I know? This tabernacle is going to dissolve one day. So I'll be moving. I'll be heading out. To where? Well, heaven. But I'm kind of nervous. What? Oh, hold on. I'm just saying, sometimes because I haven't been there yet? You know, it call me unspiritual if you must, but sometimes I think about heaven and I say, oh, I'm not ready yet. You're not ready yet? Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a road trip to a place I haven't been. You know, I've heard great things about it, but and I'm sure it's great, but it's kind of out of my comfort zone because I'm not familiar with it, so I have a hard time welcoming and embracing the change right now. I'm just going to throw this out. None of us get too excited about the transition whenever it comes time to the transition, because most of us try to hold on as long as possible, right? Yeah, you know, I've talked to Susie about this before, but I don't know, several months ago, her dad was going through some health issues, and he came out of this surgery, and they said no cancer, and he just said, thank you, Lord, multiple times, still in the silliness of the medication, all right? Just repeatedly said, thank you, Lord, no cancer. Thank you, Lord, no cancer. And I said, isn't that a strange concept? Here your dad is in his 70s. He's preached, he served the Lord and all this other stuff. You would think that he would welcome the idea of death, but he is saying, thank you, Lord, not cancer, not now. Okay, I'm just saying, if you're sitting around going, I'm ready to go right now, I think there's something weird with you. We have a tendency to kind of want to hold on to this life because most of us tend to enjoy it. And because there's a little bit of uncertainty about the next life, we don't always welcome and embrace the change maybe that we ought to welcome and embrace. Now, this may seem dumb and like you don't have to tell us this, but I guarantee you this could be a help to some. But I want to remind us tonight that whenever we have to move out and we have to change and we have to relocate, it's going to be okay. Because it's going to be far better than we could have ever imagined. Well, Brother Kyle, I knew that. Yeah, but you don't know it any better than I know it. Because you've never experienced it either. Right? Amen. If you had, you would have written a book and you'd be a millionaire and you wouldn't talk to us. I'm just saying, we know it, but sometimes we struggle being excited about that transition to a place we've never been. Well, why should we be excited about it when it's the Lord's timing? For this reason. Our mortality will be swallowed up of life. You know what I was reminded of as I was putting these thoughts together and trying to make sense of everything that the apostle wrote? I was reminded of this truth that all of my groaning and any burden I've carried, it'll be swallowed up by the most full existence I could ever know. Now, I don't know about you, but when you think about it that way, it's like, okay, that sounds pretty cool. It sounds pretty good, does it not? I know I've gone through some of this before. I'm just going to say it again because some of us could use the encouragement, I'm sure. But whenever we get to take our last breath on this earth and we get to enter into eternity, we'll never have to worry about a creditor again. Isn't that a good thing? You don't have to worry about a house payment. You don't have to worry about a car payment. You don't have to worry about a utility bill. You don't have to worry about any financial situation. You know what you will know when you enter into heaven? The same thing that everyone else has known, a release from that kind of a burden that you've carried all these years. I think it's wonderful. Whenever that transition comes, we'll never again move and say, oh, that hurt. Now listen, I'm already starting to get there. From the looks of some of you all, you ought to be real excited about that. No more stretching wrong, no more sleeping wrong, no more waking up hurting. It's going to be an eternal glorified body when we get to shed this tabernacle. Whatever your stress is at work today, it will never be again. I mean, that's got to sound a little refreshing, does it not? You know, if we were to drop dead tonight, you don't have to worry about one deadline. You don't have to worry about one report. You don't have to worry about getting that paperwork into your boss. It's done. It's over. You don't have to worry about children anymore. Or grandchildren. Because the mortal has been swallowed up and devoured by true life. You never have to make another visit. You never have to sing another special. You never have to teach another class. You don't have to do that anymore. Why? Because it's in heaven those burdens are laid down and it's over. Now again, I'm not suggesting that tonight we all ought to be sitting around thinking, I want it to be tonight. I want it to be tonight. I'm not saying that that's what our attitude should be, because I really don't think it's what it ought to be. We should want to live life to the fullest as long as God gives us breath. But whenever we think of that transition, whenever we think of going someplace we've never been and changing up the routine a little bit makes us a little anxious, we ought to remember, and we need to remember, no, you know what? It'll be better than what I've ever heard. Because eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and neither hath entered into the heart of man what is awaiting us on the other side. So you may need this tonight. You may say, well, I'm encouraged by that. And some of you may say, hey, I'm not even thinking about it because I'm not ready at all. That's up to you. But I just want to remind us, it will be a wonderful transition when the transition takes place. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this evening. I pray that you would help us to be encouraged by what Paul wrote and what Paul conveyed about this eternal body that you will one day give us. Lord, I'm thankful for the down payment of the Holy Spirit in our lives that assures us that there is more to come. And Lord, I'm thankful that you will one day swallow up our mortality with true life in a way that we have never experienced it before. So I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged, to take heart in this, to rejoice in this, while we continue to live day by day with our inner man being renewed. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.